It's Friday of the fourth week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zolsdorf. Today's Roman station is Sant Eusebio. Saint Eusebius was a Roman priest who lived in the 4th century. In 357, he defended Saint Athanasius and the doctrine of the Council of Nicaea against the Emperor Constantius II, who was an Arian. Constantius had him starved to death. It is thought that he died in this place, which was his house, and indeed beneath Sant Eusebio there are 2nd century houses. Inside the church, there is a fresco in the vaulting by Anton Mengs, Eusebius in Glory, in which the saint points to a tablet with the Greek words, consubstantial with the Father. There is also a little chapel here dedicated to Saint Celestine V, a pope who abdicated in 1296, and who is considered a saint in the Roman calendar. Yesterday, in the Mass of the Vetus Ordo, we had two readings about miraculous resurrections, one by the prophet of a widow's son, and one by the Lord of a widow's son. Pius Parsh said that the texts of Mass were aimed at penitents, while today's are aimed at catechumens. Today, we hear about the Lord raising Lazarus at Bethany. Let's hear more from Pius Parsh. The story of Lazarus' resurrection is one of the most touching and tender passages in the fourth gospel, the gospel written by John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But we know that the liturgy is not history, satisfied with teaching past facts. The liturgy gives present realities. Jesus is now living and working in his church according to the spirit and meaning of the gospel. If we put ourselves in the place of the biblical persons, our reading and reflecting upon the gospel will become more fruitful. Here is a key to a proper understanding of sacred scripture. The dispositions, thoughts, feelings, and deeds of Christ are the same today as when he walked the roads of Palestine. Indeed, they were only symbols then. Today, they are actualities. We must transfer the gospel episodes into our own hearts. Christ's words are addressed to us for our benefit. The riches of divine wisdom which constitute the gospel exist for the church today, and through her for each individual. Let's get back to A Treatise on Perfection by Cardinal Richelieu. We're up to Council 17. Spiritual persons need to guard themselves against hidden pride over their own virtue or piety. It is very necessary for persons intent upon progressing in the spiritual life to observe themselves carefully, lest pride should surreptitiously make its way into their souls. A certain type of secret pride often creeps into the hearts of spiritual persons that causes them to judge the actions of others and to assume that they themselves are more virtuous than their fellows. Such persons often come to look upon the world and society which surrounds them with disapproval, which they reveal either in their words, actions, sighs, or general manner. When I speak of refraining from condemning the actions of others, I am not referring to wicked, malicious, and sinful things which are done through free will. Of course, crimes and acts of immorality, evil, and cruelty can never be tolerated or approved. Rather, I am speaking of those things which are done without bad intention, yet which may seem somewhat imperfect. In many cases, such things happen due to human weakness or lack of prudence, rather than any evil intention. And both love and wisdom demand that what is done without evil intention should not be condemned. Judgment of the actions of others, except in the necessary cases of deliberate crimes and sins, damages the virtue of humility and harms charity. It leads to presumption in placing one's self above one's peers. To do this is contrary both to human prudence and to the teachings of Christ. A spiritual person should not consider it permissible to condemn any action of others, except those which are very clearly evil. Nor should he speak words of condemnation against any person or deed, unless he is absolutely sure of the facts of the matter, and even then, to speak such words only when to refrain from making a condemnation would be to commit an act of injustice, or to imply approval of a crime or sin.